नमस्सर्वेभ्यः. भगवद्गीतायाः अस्मिन् नूतनप्रक्रमे सर्वेषां स्वागतम्. सो वेरी वार्म वेलकम टू ऑल ऑफ यू टू आवर न्यू कोर्स लर्न टू चैंट द भगवद्गीता. आई विल जस्ट स्टार्ट विद अ कपल ऑफ मंगल श्लोकास एंड देन इंट्रोड्यूस यू टू द टीचर before handing over to her. Gururev gatir gurumeva bhaje gurunaiva sahasmi namo gurave na guroh paramam shishurasmi guroh matirasti gurau mama pahi guro vagishadya sumanasah sarvarthanam upakrame yannatva kritakrityasyo tannamami gajananam. Vyoma Samskrita Pathashala welcomes all of you to this new course, Learn to Chant the Bhagavad Gita. So the Bhagavad Gita is one of the most important texts which has manifold benefits, of course, by understanding it. But the first step towards it is chanting it. Just chanting the shlokas well gives a variety of benefits. So with this intent, we are starting this new course called Learn to Chant the Bhagavad Gita. The course will be taught by Srimati Brinda Karanam. She is a lawyer by profession and she has been learning Sanskrit since a very young age. So she is a disciple of Srimati Anantalakshmi Natarajan, our Mata, who is actually the seed for the entire efforts of Vyoma Labs and its mother organization, Gita Govinda Samskrita Sangha. So Brinda has learnt Samskrita, Gita, Shlokas and everything from Mata Anantalakshmi Natarajan. And she has also learnt classical music. She is a trained singer and one of the most qualified persons to lead this class on the chanting of the Bhagavad Gita. So the focus here will be purely on learning to chant the shlokas correctly with proper pronunciation and breaking at the proper places and so on. Before we start with the course itself, a few guidelines for those who are attending webinars for the first time. The GoToWebinar, once you have registered for this webinar, you will get reminder emails. So there are two reminders which are sent, one 24 hours before the class and 1 hour before class. So you can all use the join webinar link in that email to join the webinar. Once you are in the webinar, you can attend the classes either through your computer or through your smartphone, either Android or iOS. If you are attending through the phones, there are free apps of GoToWebinar available. So if you just search for GoToWebinar in Play Store or the iOS store, you will get the app using which you can attend. We recommend that you use a headphone with mic to attend the classes, especially since this is a chanting class where the focus will be on hearing correctly and also you chanting it properly. If you do not have the speaker or the headphone with microphones, it will cause a lot of disturbance and you may not be able to hear properly. So headphones with mic are recommended. To interact in the webinar. In the webinar, all the attendees are on mute by default because any disturbance in any of the attendees will cause a lot of issues for the other participants. But you can always interact using two options. First option is called the raise your hand. So if you are using your computer, there is this hand symbol with a green color upward arrow. If you click on that, we can see your hand as raised next to your name and we'll be able to unmute you. So whenever the teacher asks you to, if anybody wants to repeat, you can volunteer by raising your hands and she will unmute you in order, depending on how many people are there, and give you a chance. Also, if you have any doubts or questions, you can raise your hand. At that question time, she will unmute you and allow you to ask. So there is this button is there in this left panel. There is a small panel. So the bottom button is the raise your hand button. Also, there is a questions panel, which you can see here, where there is a type a question to staff. So you can also type in your questions and send, which will be answered later. So if you are attending from your mobile, again, you have both options. There is this raise hand button and also a question mark, which is the questions button, which you can use to interact. After the classes, all recording of each class will be uploaded on our course page in Vyoma Samskata Pathashala. So if you go to the Learn to Chant Bhagavad Gita, this is the course page. So if you just go there and scroll down, first you should have to take this course, which I assume you would have already done. Scroll down, so there is a register button. So below that, each class will be added. After that, if you have any questions, please send an email to sanskritfromhome@vyomalabs.in for any issues. If you have any problems with logging in or also or any questions regarding the class, you can send in by email. Okay. So this is a general intro to the webinar. I now request Srimati Brinda Karanam to take over and start the class.
धन्यवादाः भगिनी सौम्ये. सर्वेभ्यः हृत्पूर्वक नमस्काराः. सुप्रभातम्. स्वागतम्. Indeed, we are all very blessed today that we are starting this Gita Jnana Yajna. Vayam sarve dhanyah, dhanyataraah, dhanyatamaah eva, yatah adya jagadgurunam kripaya, matuhu sharadambayah kripaya, tatha gitaacharyasya shri krishnasya kripaya cha, vayam adya gitayajnam prarambham kurmaha. A very good morning to all of you who have joined us from the Eastern Hemisphere. If any of you have joined from the Western Hemisphere, a good evening to you all. Welcome to the Gita Chanting webinar course. We are indeed very blessed to have embarked on this beautiful, spiritually elevating journey of learning to chant the Bhagavad Gita. Chanting the original text of the Gita creates divine vibrations and gives immense peace of mind and bliss. With the blessings of Jagadgurus, Goddess Sharada Devi, Bhagavan Gitacharya, Lord Krishna, our elders and well-wishers, let us begin this divine journey today. So, as you all know, the Bhagavad Gita is found in the Bhishma Parva of the Mahabharata. So just a brief introduction. Most of you might already be knowing this. As you all know, there was a war between the Kauravas and the Pandavas in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And when the armies of both the Pandavas and the Kauravas were arrayed and ready to wage the battle, then Arjuna faces a disillusionment and he suddenly confused as to what is the right thing to be done. He asks Krishna to place the chariot in between both the armies to see who are his opponents in war. And when he sees his gurus, uncles, granduncles, cousins, his own family people, he is disillusioned. And he gives up his arms, sits down in the chariot, and then he asks Krishna as to what is the right thing to be done. And before that, he says, na kaankshe vijayam krishna na cha rajyam sukhani cha kimno rajyena govinda kim bhogair jivitenava. Of what use is all this enjoyment, Krishna? Of what use are all these worldly pleasures? I don't want vijaya, victory. I don't want rajya, kingdom. I don't want sukhani, that is happiness. What is with all these things? And will I even get happiness if I have to wage a war against my beloved family men and my gurus? And at that point of time, he also loses his balance, and he says, Vepatushcha sharire me roma harshastra jayate gandivam sramsate hasta tvakchaiva paridashyate. My gandiva falls from my hand, and my skin is burning. And at that point of time, that is the starting of the Bhagavad Gita. That is what we find these few verses and instances which I recited to you. These are found in Arjuna Vishada Yoga, that is the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And that is when Krishna initially gives him a very patient hearing. So that is why the Gita is said to be not only a very great spiritual work, but a very great psychological guide, and it is a life science. So it is relevant and useful for anyone and everyone of all ages in all walks of life. And a few of them could have this conception that it is only a spiritual work, maybe for those who are interested in spiritual journey after a certain time in life, but that is so not true. It is a very practical guide. You get everything, basically, spiritual upliftment and practically how you can use it in everyday life, excellent management skills. And even for students who are in school, who are pursuing their exams or their career pursuits or whatever objective you have in life, the Gita is a wonderful guide. So coming back to the context, Krishna as a great spiritual and a psychological and a philosophical guide to Arjuna and a great friend of his gives him a patient hearing, and after that he starts talking, and then Arjuna surrenders to him and tells him, oh Krishna, tell me what is the right thing to be done here. And that is when Krishna starts this dialogue of the Bhagavad Gita. It is in 18 chapters with 700 shlokas. And the best part about this work is that it is in the form of a dialogue. Now we see everyone speaking about the dialectic method and having this questioning and dialogue to understand. So that's exactly what Krishna does. And he also says in the Bhagavad Gita, Pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninaha tattvadarshinaha. Pariprashnena, by asking questions in the form of a dialogue, you understand the truth. You get to understanding the real science and knowledge. So this is a wonderful aspect, because you see Arjuna questioning Krishna at every point of time, clearing all his doubts, and Krishna answers his questions throughout the Bhagavad Gita. And the Bhagavad Gita starts with the first verse, which is by Dhritarashtra, starts with Dharma Kshetre. So the word, the first word is Dharma. And the last word of the last verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Dhruvanitir Matir Mama. Mama is the last word, which is a verse by Sanjaya. So if you see the entire Gita, it tells you Mama Dharma, what is my Dharma? That is the context, and that is the gist of the Bhagavad Gita. And like I said, it is relevant for everyone in every walk of life. And coming to why chanting, there will be a lot of you who have already studied the meaning or who are in the process of studying the meaning. From experience, all of us who have studied the Gita will tell you that apart from learning the meaning, if you learn to chant the verses in the original text in Sanskrit, it creates divine vibrations and your understanding and appreciation of the meaning will be much better. And I also urge you all to, once you learn, some of you might already know Sanskrit, but if you haven't learned, please do make an attempt to start learning Sanskrit. You have many products in Vyoma Labs, and you will have other teachers also by Guru's grace, so that once you learn the language, then you will be able to appreciate the splitting of the words in chanting and the meaning on your own. So reading a translation is one part of it, but if you want to understand and internalize, it is excellent if you can read the Moola, chant the Moola Bhagavad Gita, and also know the language so that you will be able to appreciate it on your own. And this is one request I have to all of you to try, and also if you have not started, to try and start learning Sanskrit. And coming to our format of the classes, so we will begin with Dhyana Shlokas, and then which are basically an introduction, and also like seeking the blessings of Gita Mata and Gita Charya Bhagavan Shri Krishna. Before we start with the chapters will be covered in chronological order. So chapter 1 to chapter 18. And the verses will be taught bit by bit, part by part, asking you all to repeat. And then I will chant the entire verse and also make you all repeat that. And as it is a webinar, and as we have many people joining from different locations, it would be very efficient and it would be beneficial for you if those of you who have learned to chant whatever has been taught in class could raise your hand or express your willingness to chant by raising your hand in the webinar, so that I can give you an opportunity to repeat the verse and listen to your individual chanting. And as we progress in our classes, we will try and recapitulate the previous lessons also. So if you could have practiced, or if you have chanted once after the class, then maybe we could listen to some of you chant in the class and improvise on that. Another very important aspect of any chanting, be it the Bhagavad Gita or any other verse in Sanskrit, is accurate pronunciation. So accurate pronunciation, uccharana, is very important, because minor changes also would change the meaning of a word drastically in Sanskrit. Therefore, it is important to know the exact pronunciation of the letters and where you have to split the words, and how long to prolong a particular syllable. So these things are a basic introduction to learning to chant and pronouncing the verses properly. So I will be going through a few very basic rules regarding pronunciation today. Basically, as and when we chant each verse, I will tell you the relevant rules of pronunciation there. But there are a few of them which are generally, applicable across verses, whether it's the Bhagavad Gita or any other Sanskrit text you want to chant. So those we will go through in brief today.
And tatra screen madhye kimapi darshayishyati va
tatra kimapi drishyate tadeva pashyami katham iti atra kimapi share a screen with you regarding the pronunciation and can you all view the screen?
Ha, varnamala tatra korakam drishyate, chart drishyate.
Drishyate va bhavatu.
I'm kevalam side side click kurmah chet itopi brihad drishyate. Parshve ekam asti kila tat ante prashyama.
Evam va?
Astu. Tatra parshve ekam side arrow vartate.
Side arrow.
कन्वर्ट् इति अस्ति पश्यतु तस्य पार्श्वे एव
दृश्यते वा इदानीं
दृश्यते चिन्ता मास्तु इतोपि किञ्चित्
I hope all of you are able to see this screen.
Dushyate. Uttam.
So, in Sanskrit, we have Swaraha and Vyanjanani. Swaraha are basically what we call as vowels in English. And Vyanjanani are the consonants. So, a swara can stand on its own. Swayam ranjayati iti swaraha. The swaraha, as you may already know, those who are familiar with the Indian languages would know, the swaraha are a, a, I, I, u, u, r, 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 a, I, o, au, and till there. So, in swaraha, you basically have the short vowels, long vowels, and even longer vowels in Sanskrit. So we have hrasva swaraha, which are the short vowels, dirgha swaraha, which are the long vowels, and pluta swaraha. Pluta swaraha are vowels which are even longer than dirgha swaraha. Now the hrasva swaraha are a, I, u, r, and r. How is a swara called a hrasva swara? Basically, if the time taken to pronounce a swara is one matra kala, it is called a hrasva swara. In Sanskrit, it is very beautiful because everything is very scientific. You have rules as to why something is called a hrasva swara, dirgha swara. Like you said, one matra kala time for pronouncing a vowel makes it a hrasva swara. Now, what is one matra kala? One matra kala is the time taken to blink your eyelid once. So, that amount of time which you take to blink your eyelids once is one matra kala. Now, that time is what is taken to pronounce a hrasva swara. A, I, U, R, R. Now, dirgha swaraha are the long vowels. So, you have more than one matra kala, two matra kalas. So there you have a, e, u, r, a, I, o, au. So all these are dirgha swaraha. And it has to also be noted that in Sanskrit, a, I, o, au are by default dirgha swaraha. Sometimes we get this question because in languages like Kannada and Telugu, you have A-A-I-O-O, you have A-A-O-O, but that is not the case in Sanskrit. So, A-I-O-O are by default dirgha swaraha. Pluta swaraha are the vowels which are longer than the dirgha swaraha. So, which is probably A. O, when exclamation, these kind of situations where you have plutaha being used. In Bhagavad Gita, you come across hrasva swaraha and dirgha swaraha. And it is important to note this difference, especially because while chanting at the end of a quarter or at the end of half a shloka or at the end of a shloka, you should be extremely precise if it is a hrasva swara. And it should, the chanting should be so clear, the spashtata should be so clear that anyone who is listening to you should be able to write down the verse perfectly. So that is the aim, to chant so perfectly with the distinction between a hrasva swara and dirgha swara that there should not be any doubt to the listener as to what it is. Is it a hrasva swara or a dirgha swara? And the reason we are going through all this now is because during the classes in the coming weeks, I will be using these terms, hrasva, dirgha, to emphasize on the pronunciation. So I hope that this class will help you understand the terminology so that when I use the word hrasva or dirgha, you'll understand as to what I am referring to. So now we have completed hrasva swaraha and dirgha swaraha. Then let's come to Ayogavahaha. Ayogavahaha are of two types. If you look at the screen here, Ayogavahaha in light blue, we have Anuswaraha and Visargaha. Now, Anuswaraha is and Visargaha is Aha. So, Anuswara and Visarga, like you all know, will be used with consonants also, like Kim, Kaha. So, we have certain rules, especially when these are used within a shloka, within a word, or maybe when we are combining two words, there are certain rules to be followed, which we will come to. Now, next, let us come to what is called a Jihvamooliyaha. When a visarga, that is, you know what a visarga is, I just told you, is followed by ka or kha, then we get a pronunciation called Jihvamooliya. For example, here if you see antahkaranam, so antahkaranam, you get that the entire visarga is not pronounced when it is followed by a ka or a kha. Another example is from the 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where you have sama dukha sukha kshami. So there the visarga is followed by ksha, and whenever the visarga is followed by ksha, then it is pronounced fully. However, if it is followed by ka or kha, for example, shabda khe paurusham rishu, there shabdaha, the visarga, is followed by khe, kha. Therefore, what happens is a jihvamooliya. So, these are certain subtle differences to be noted. When a visarga is followed by ka or kha, then there is a jihvamooliya. However, like I said in the other example, sama dukha sukha kshami, there it is followed by ksha, then the visarga is supposed to be pronounced completely. Next, we come to upadhvaniya. This, many of you who are familiar with chanting Sanskrit shlokas will already be familiar with it. For example, naguroho paramam in the shloka Gurureva Gatihi, which also we will teach you when we start the class, there is this phrase, naguroho paramam. If you see, naguroho, the visarga is followed by pa, paramam. When you chant it together, it becomes naguroh paramam. So that pronunciation, if you can observe, which is coming between the visarga and pakara, naguroh paramam, that is called an upadhvaniya. These we will, as and when we go through the shlokas, we will go through them again and again. This is just an introductory class. But through every shloka, we will learn how these are used more in detail. And I will also revisit them at that time. But this is, like I said, a general introduction. So now we have learnt hraswa, dirghaswaraha, anuswaraha, visargaha, jihvamooliyaha, and upadhmaniyaha. Now we come to vyanjanani. Now, the vyanjanani, as you all know, are consonants. And you have two types of consonants in Sanskrit. Vargiya vyanjanani and avargiya vyanjanani. Now, vargiya vyanjanani, as the name itself suggests, varga means a group. So, those consonants which are grouped are called vargiya vyanjanani. And we have five groups of such consonants. Ka vargaha, which is ka, kha, ga, gha, nga. Cha vargaha, cha, cha, ja, ja, nya. Ta vargaha, ta, tha, da, dha, na. Ta vargaha, ta, tha, da, dha, na. And pa vargaha, pa, pha, va, bha, ma. If you observe here in the chart which is shown to you, the consonants are represented as k, k, g, g, ng. So that is the exact form of the vyanjana, of the consonant. So k plus a would give you ka. So it stands with the help of a swara, ka, to get गुणिताक्षराणि, दट् इस् का ख ग घ और का का की की, इट कम्बैन्स् वित् आल् द स्वराज, ईच् व्यञ्जनं कम्बैन्स् वित् ईच् स्वरा टु गिव् यू अ गुणिताक्षरम्. Now, these, as you see, are grouped into five vargas, into five. So, we have 25 vargiya vyanjanani. The first and the third letter of each varga are called alpapranaksharani. Now, what is the difference? So, this is again a very important distinction which you have to keep in mind. I will probably repeat this in every other shloka or every shloka. To emphasize on Alpaprana and Mahaprana chanting. So, Alpaprana, again, like the name suggests, Alpa, little, Prana, breath. So, you use little, compared to the Mahaprana, you use less breath of yours to pronounce an Alpaprana letter. For example, Ka, Ga, Cha, Ja, Ta, Da, Ta, Da, Pa, Ba. So what have I done? I have just repeated the first and the third letter of each varga. These are called alpapranas. So the alpapranas are those which require little effort or little breath of yours to pronounce. Coming to mahapranas, the second and the fourth letter of each varga are called mahapranas. Now let us listen to them. Kha. Gh, ch, j, th, dh, ch, dh, ph, bh. If you see, I'm using more effort compared to the alpaprana, and I'm also using more of my breath. Now, this is a very, very important distinction. Whether you want to converse in Sanskrit, read anything in Sanskrit, or chant. And your alpaprana and mahaprana pronunciation should be extremely precise, clear, and perfect. Again, like I said, anyone hearing you chant, listening to you, should be able to very distinctly understand whether you're chanting an alpaprana letter or a mahaprana letter. And this gives a lot of beauty to Sanskrit chanting. I have also heard that some Indian languages do not have the Mahaprana letters. So sometimes we get these questions that they do not have these letters. So how do you pronounce them? This is the reason why we are taking this introductory class, to tell you that in Sanskrit, we have this distinction which has to be borne in mind. And it comes by practice. We see that some of them initially may not be very distinct while chanting Mahapranas. But with practice, Mahapranas have to be chanted very clearly. And the distinction should be clear. Where there is an Alpaprana, it has to be chanted only as an Alpaprana. Where there is a Mahaprana, it should be chanted only as a Mahaprana. And you will come across many words which have two Mahapranas or a combination of Alpaprana, Mahaprana very close to each other in the same word. So in that case, the distinction should be very clear when you're pronouncing. And which is one of the reasons why chanting Sanskrit verses is also considered to be a very great breathing exercise. It is like pranayama, because when you are chanting a shloka, you hold your breath and you use more of your breath for chanting some of the words and some of the letters. Therefore, it is a wonderful exercise for the lungs. And it increases the lung capacity and has a lot of scientific and medical benefits also, which you will be able to experience only if you adhere to these rules of pronunciation. Coming to the last letter of each varga. So if you see this nya, na, 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 ma in each varga, these are called anunasikaksharani. Anunasika, again, like the name itself suggests, the beauty is that the terminology itself gives you the reason why it is called so. Anunasika, they follow the nasal, the nose. So you need the aid of the nose to pronounce these letters. Therefore, these are called anunasikas. They are the last letter of each varga, nya, na, 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 and ma. And these also have certain rules when they combine with words, when a sandhi, what we call in Sanskrit, a combination of words according to the shabda is called a sandhi, when you combine two words together. And we will also be dealing with the splitting of these sandhis and the joining of words as and when we come across those examples in the verses. So with that, we are done with Vargiya Vyanjanani. And Avargiya Vyanjanani are the non-grouped consonants. Yara, Lava, Shasha, Saha. So these are apart from the grouped ones. And these are called Avargiya. Avargiya is Tesham Vargaha Nasti. They don't have a group, unlike the Varga, Avargiya Vyanjanani. Therefore, they are called Avargiya Vyanjanani. Now, these are some of the basics I wanted to go through, because when I use the terminology as Hrasva Swaraha or Dirgha Swaraha, you should be in a position to understand what it means. Now, coming to certain other terminology and certain rules, whenever I use the word Pada, it means a quarter. So a quarter of a shloka is called a pada. And the reason I'm telling you this is because if I say something like visarga at the end of a pada, you should be able to understand what a pada means. So in Bhagavad Gita, we have two kinds of shlokas. So one kind of shloka is the Anushtup Chandas, which is basically 8 letters in each quarter. And predominantly, we have these kind of shlokas, which have 8 letters in each quarter. And then we also have the bigger shlokas, which have 11 letters in each pada. So basically, we pause at the end of each pada. There is a small gap, a very little gap, where you can take your breath at the end of each pada. And there are certain rules on how you chant. For example, visarga at the end of a pada is chanted. So these rules also go with where you end a pada and when you stop in a shloka. And we also have certain letters in Sanskrit which you have to be very careful while pronouncing. Like, for example, sa, sha, and sh. Sa is, like you all know, sarvasvam, swagatam, sarvam. And all these three letters which I mentioned, sa, sha, and sha, form a part of the Avargiya Vyanjanani, like we just went through in the chart. And the second kind, sha, that is what you find in words like Shankara, Shiva. Sha, it is less, it takes less effort on the tongue compared to the next letter which I'm going to tell you, which is Shanmukha, sha. So sha is different from sha and sa. As and when we learn the shlokas, this distinction will be clearer. But it is very important that we differentiate while chanting. For example, Shiva, Shankara are different from shat, Shanmukha. So the sha and sha distinction should be borne in mind when you look at the script while chanting. You will identify these letters. So it is important to make this subtle distinction, but it has to be made while pronouncing the verses. And also coming to that, I would like to tell you all to please get a copy of the Bhagavad Gita, your own books maybe, because we will also show you the text on screen in Devanagari script, which is basically Sanskrit script. However, each of you might have your comfort in reading in a different language. So in such a case, request you all to please get copies of the Bhagavad Gita book. And also we will be learning how to split the words, etc. So in such a case, it might be useful, at least initially, if you could make a note of how we are splitting the sandhi, where we are stopping, and how we are combining the sandhi and these things. So I think it would be really helpful if you all have your own Gita books by next class. And next, I use the terminology of sandhi. So sandhi, like I already said, is a combining of words in Sanskrit. They are governed by sandhi rules. You also have a Vyoma product on sandhi, which is excellent. So those who want to learn more about sandhi could please go through that product. Sandhi is very important when you are learning to chant the Gita and any shloka for that matter. Because if you have to split correctly without distorting the meaning, then you have to follow the correct rules of sandhi. For example, visarga sandhihi is where visarga is used. And you all will be familiar with other kind of sandhis like savarna dirgha, guna, briddhi, and sandhihi. There are certain rules, especially with reference to visarga sandhi, which are very relevant while chanting the Bhagavad Gita. Now, our dwelling on sandhi in this particular webinar will be restricted only to the shloka we are chanting. So whatever is relevant for that particular shloka, we will only go through the sandhi rules to that extent. So we will not be going in detail into what are the rules of each sandhi, etc. For that, like I said, you have another product which you can make use of the on sandhi itself exclusively. But the focus of this webinar, as far as sandhi is concerned, is only restricted to each shloka. So, visarga sandhi, at the end of each pada, if there is a visarga, then instead of chanting okara, we chant the visarga completely. For example, in one shloka, param bhavam ajanantah. Because it is at the end of a pada, we chant param bhava majanantah instead of param bhava majananto. And when a visarga is followed by a sakara, then what happens? Or a visarga is followed by a hakara, what happens? For example, tataha shvetaihi hayaihi yukte. So you have so many visargas in this particular line. Tataha shvetaihi hayaihi yukte. And all these words form the part of the same pada. So while chanting, we chant it as tata shvetair hayair yukte. So you see how you are getting visarga repa sandhi, and we also have visarga sakara and subsequently shtutva sandhi happening in some places where you have visarga followed by sakara. So all these have to be chanted extremely precisely. Let's go with the same line. Tataha shvetaihi hayaihi yukte. So when you combine, like I said, it would be tata shvetair hayair yukte. You can see how we are combining together according to the rules of sandhi. And when we combine, we are also getting samyuktaksharani. So what is a samyuktaksharam? A samyukta, again, like the meaning itself suggests, is where you have two or more consonants combining. Shvetair hayair yukte, in this particular line, shve, that let's take that particular syllable, shve. So there you have sh plus v plus a. You have one swara and you have two consonants, sh and v, shvetair. And what is happening? Shvetaihi hayaihi is becoming shvetair hayaihi. The repa, ra kara, is coming in, visarga repa sandhi. So that is again an example of a samyuktakshara. Shvetair hayair yukte. Yukte, again in this word, taking the syllable kte, k plus t plus a. So samyuktaksharas are combined letters. And these you find in innumerable places in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, we will have to be extremely clear in pronouncing each and every little samyuktakshara which is there. Nothing can be compromised. So therefore, we need to focus on every little syllable to be able to chant it perfectly. We will go through this again, like I said, with each verse. These are just general instructions. And also, when an anuswara is followed by ya, la, and va, and these are certain optional rules. So there are more than one ways of chanting. And in certain situations, you have an optional rule. Optional in the sense that when an anuswara, like I said, or kam, when it is followed by certain letters, whether there should be a sandhi or not. So this in Vedic chanting, etc., certain strict rules of sandhi are followed. And in Bhagavad Gita, you have an option in some shlokas, not all places, where you can either chant the complete anuswara or you can convert it to a sandhi. Like for example, shariram yadavapnoti. So shariram, completely chanting the anuswara with the following word, yadavapnoti, is also acceptable. However, as you are chanting both the words together, you could chant it as sharirai yadavapnoti. So we will be going through these rules and I will point out the verses where these options are available. And the better option would be to chant it as sharirai yadavapnoti. But even chanting as shariram yadavapnoti, splitting the sandhi correctly, is also acceptable. So these are called certain optional rules. So just to recapitulate, today we have gone through hraswasvaraha, dirghasvaraha, anuswaraha, visargaha, and vargiya vyanjanani, avargiya vyanjanani. In that, we have gone through alpa pranaksharani, maha pranaksharani, and anunasikaksharani. And in avargiya vyanjanani, we have also seen the subtle distinction in the pronunciation of sa, sha, and sha. And we have also gone through some very basic rules of sandhi and how we will be using them in our chanting. So with this basic introduction, I now invite our guru, our well-wisher, Sri Vishwanathan Mahodaya, who is a very great Sanskrit scholar and who has been rendering yeoman service to Sanskrit apart from his profession in finance and as a chartered accountant. So he has taken up both these, and through Vyoma he has been rendering amazing service. I invite him to say a few words to all of you. Dhanyavadah. Ram Ram Ram.
Sarvebhyah Ram Ram Ram. Ati Uttama Ritya Avataranika Rupa Pithika Datta Brinde. अतीव सम्यक् आसीत् महान् प्रमुखः केवलं गुरु अनुग्रहेण मातुः कृपया एव एतादृशरीत्या वक्तुं प्रभवामः इति मन्ये सर्वेभ्यः नमस्काराः वाट् ऐ विल् डू इस् वी हेव् अरौण्ड् 10 मिनिट्स् फस्ट् ऐ विल् ट्रै टु आन्सर् द क्वशन्स् विच् हव् बीन् फ्लाशिङ्ग् हियर् सो द फस्ट् क्वशन् इस् विल् यु बी शेरिङ्ग् द वर्सस् आन् द स्क्रीन् yes, we will be, as Brinda just referred, Srimati Brinda just referred, the questions will be, the verses will be shown on the screen. Tatra ekaha prashnaha asit Brinde, tatra Devanagari transliteration diacritical ubhavapi presentation madhye bhavati kila tatra.
Kartum shakyate. Devanagari tatha transliteration khalo.
I trans the diacriticals which we use both, yes, have been sent by Soumya Bhagini, so we, yes, can put that and we can show that. So I think that answers one question by Shri Haresh Bakshi ji and also by Kritika Mata. So both of these we have answered. We will be showing the verses on the screen. It will be on Sanskrit Devanagari and it will be in I trans translated diacriticals. which is the universally generally accepted transliteration scheme which is taken actually. That is the first one. This chart, will you be sharing it later is the next question. Avashyam, Tatra Varnamala, the Krama, the 64 letters chart which was shown by Brinda Bhagini will be shared. So all the materials which are being shown in the during the course of the class will be put in the same page. So when we go to sanskritfromhome.in and when we enter chanting Bhagavad Gita class page, there is a page created for each course. Within the course, you can see that all the materials, general materials will be on the top, and then class wise, the materials will also be stored. That is the video, the audio, and the presentation which is used in that class will also be available within that page. So you can access it anytime and you can also download the same from the same page. The next question is, 1 minute. Some of them have asked the difference between Alpa Prana and Haraswa. So what I will do is quickly, tatra mam presenter karoti chete. अहं स्क्रीन् एकं दर्शयामि.
व्योमसंस्कृतपाठशाला इति भवतः नाम अस्ति खलु?
आम् 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 सत्यम्.
आगतं वा?
आगतम्. इदानीं दृश्यते किल?
आम् दृश्यते.
हा हा. Prathamataya, so first the difference, the going directly to the question, Hraswa and Alpa Prana. This is a generally a common question, like how Brinda Bhagini just explained. Hraswa Swara, Dirgha Swara itself shows that it is for the Swaraha, wherein it is a matter of timing. It can be any one unit of measurement of time. Like how Brinda Bhagini said, it can be an involuntary blink of the eye or it can be a sound which we do. So for example, a, a, e, e. We can, these kind of, so whatever pramanam of that sound which you take, hraswa, the eka matro bhavet hraswa, dvimatro dirgha uchate, that is the matra kala. To measure the matra kala, blink of an eye, this sound, different types of sounds, different type of measurements are used just as a reference point, which is the Hraswa and Dirgha Swara. So it is more on the timing, the how much of time the we take. Coming to Alpa Prana and Mahaprana, it is a matter of effort. So for example, one of the tools which we use to help our children in our class to understand this, just take a small tissue paper or a newspaper which you have, as light as possible paper, keep it in front of you and try to tell the vyanjanani. For example, ka kha, ka kha. So when you tell ka, the alpa prana, the paper will not move front, it will be there. So you know how to contain yourself or restrain and use that prana. When you tell the maha prana, it will move. The paper will move. So for example, ka kha, I'll just keep it properly, ka kha, ga gha, na cha cha, ja jha, nya. So you can use this for reference to see that what is a alpa prana, what is a maha prana. This can be an easy tool for you, and therefore the difference I hope is clear to all of us. Similarly, what we are seeing here is what Brinda Bhagini was explaining, that all these letters are very, very scientific. That was what she was trying to tell us. And the arrangement also, all these, let it be Sandhi or the Varnamala, are all a body-throat phenomenon. So it is very scientific. There is nothing outside or nothing non-logical about these things. So the ka, kha, ga, gha, na, you can feel the throat being used. So that is where the kantha aksharas come. And then cha, cha, ja, jha, you use the talu. And then ta, tha, da, dha, all these you use the, you use murdha, which is the cerebrum part. you should use the upper part of the mouth and the wind passes through. Whatever that kayagdina preritaha which comes from the nabhi, it has to touch these parts and then the sounds are produced, which is what she was trying to explain. And then once you have the tavarga, you use the dantyaha, which is where they are called. Ta, tha, da, dha are used here. And then pa, pha, ba, bha are used from the lips actually. So you can see how it is naturally flowing from the kantha to the lips. And then for all the anunasika, which she beautifully explained, the nasika also joins. So for example, for na, na, ka, kha, ga, gha, na, that is the sound. You have to use the kantha and the nasika. So na comes from there. Nya comes from talu and nasika. Na, na, ta, tha, da, dha, na. It should sound like a bell hitting, like a temple bell hitting. Na, it should come. Ghanta, that na should come there. So murdha and nasika, that is how the differences come actually. And then the other part which she explained with examples, you can see how the wind, there is a wave of difference in sha, sha, sa. Again, over a period, initially we may need to do this consciously, but then as we proceed over a few shlokas, you will know that this comes very naturally for you. So, sha is more at the talavya, sha, sha, you have to again hit the cerebrum, sha, murdha, murdhanya, shakara it is called, and then sa, that is the sadharana saraswati shakara, which we are talking about. So, this is just to add on the pronunciation, hope that answers the question. Yamaha is one more question, so if I bring up this chart, yama are what we can call it as the dvitva, what we can use. So for example, taking a very simple, if I have to take a Rigveda mantra, agnimi ile purohitam, so what happens is agni. So we generally don't say it as agni, it doesn't come like that. There is a dvitva. So whatever the first four letters, adya chaturtha chatur varna, which is there, when it is followed by the fifth varna, it takes a dvitva, doubling, it gets doubled. So Atikni Yamarudvrdhe Vitastaya. So it comes as Atikni. You don't sell it as Atikni. Just it doesn't come like that. It comes as Atikni. Chakhnatuhu. Agni. Like this. So that Dritva, which over the, as we chant the shlokas, it will be very well explained by Brinde also. So whenever we use Mukhya Prana, so that Pa, you again take that. So there are a lot of dhitvas also which we will be using during the pronunciation. She will help us. So hope that explains Yama. And then I have many copies of Bhagavad Gita by ISKCON Prabhupada. So the basic shlokas which are there, we don't think there are any differences. In case there are some differences, please raise a question and we can get it clarified as and when. But the Moola does not change across the Granthas, Gita Press, Chaukamba, ISKCON, all are the same as far as we have seen. But in case there is one or two small differences, some printing changes are there, just refer it during that class, it will be there. Link of the Sandhi course material, we will add it. So I will request Saumya Bhagini or Vinda Bhagini to just mention it, and we will put it in the start of the course material, the link to Sandhi course material. We will do that. Meaning of shlokas, beautiful. So meaning of shlokas, again, as we have enumerated, we have told in the course also, and as told by Vrinda Bhagini, this class is purely for chanting, and it's an exclusive course wherein we have to focus on the chanting of shlokas, that is first shravanam and listening to the shlokas, how Vrinda Bhagini will be chanting it. She will be doing it pada quarterly, then half shloka, and then the full shloka, and there will be revisions. And then what happens is, we will also be individually, depending on the numbers and the people opportunity, she will give us opportunity to chant individually, also make any corrections. That will also be there. So, given this kind of a focus for this class, we may not be able to do justice to the meaning part. Therefore, what we have is, there are three different courses in Sanskrit From Home for meanings. So first at a chapter summary level, what we have is by Professor Mahadevan sir from IMD. He has done a chapter wise summary for all the 18 chapters. A beautiful summary which is done, very very technically correct, more relevant to the management aspect. All that are being covered, that is available. The next course which is available, which is also ongoing, is a word by word English meaning with also explaining the Vedantic concepts as and when applicable. Three chapters have been conducted, the recordings are available, and the fourth chapter is ongoing already, which is done by Srimati Ramash Shivaraman, and those links also we will share it within this course page, so that if you want the meaning, you can quickly go to that. The third level is a very very in-depth Pada Padartha, Samskrita, Sandhi Samasa, Taddhita, has been done for three chapters, which is more as a Parichayatmaka. That is, how should we go about reading a meaning? That is also available within the course, which will also be shared there. But that is done only for three chapters. After the fourth chapter, we would allow you to explore it in detail. So those three are there, and therefore we will allow you to take those course and enjoy that in a better way actually. And Sandhi Panini rules in a succinct way of answering, isn't it? So we will not touch upon Panini rules of Sandhi within this class. This class is only for pronunciation of the Bhagavad Gita shlokas, and only the split will be explained, that if there is a joining like this, it has to be split like this. Only this level will be given. Sometimes Brinda, because of her knowledge, she may just, Brinda Bhagini will mention the Sandhi name, so that you can go and refer it. No Panini rules will be explained here. That has to be taken as a different course only. Again, in the interest of the students and in the interest of the class and the purpose of the class, this is being done, and I'm sure all of you would appreciate that. Devanagari Bhagavad Gita is available in the form of as a product. Yes, we have a downloadable version of Bhagavad Gita wherein you have Devanagari script, and you have the corresponding audio also done, which is available. We will share that link also within the class. How much time we will be spending on chanting and how much time on lectures? This first class was only on introduction and lectures. From the next class, full time, almost most of the time will be spent only on chanting, and there will not be any lectures. Both this was a pratipat today, because of the day and also because of the need for all these clarification of questions, we had to spend this time. Difference explained. Dhanyavadaha. Brinda Bhagini, dhanyavadaha. L, swara, hraswa, plata, but not in dirgha. Yes, so L is a hraswa swara. A, a, e, e, u, r, l. So that is in hraswa, and only in plata, it does not come in the Dirgha section. Yes, you have observed it correctly. Avargiya Vyanjanani. They also have Alpa Prana. Quickly, very good question. If you see the Alpa Prana, Mahaprana chart here, Sh, Sh, Sa, Ha. All these also take that extra effort, and therefore they are also classified here. Ya, Ra, La, Va are the Alpa Prana. Very simple rule. Again, all these you can see. When you say Ha, Ha, the paper moves. You can see that the effort is more. Also, as a rule, we have given it here. As a practical experience, you can use the paper technique and also understand that, yes, Vargiya Vyanjanas have, and the difference is put in the chart. Bhagini. Bhagini is only a sister. So, Bhagini means using as a reference, as a sister. Okay. What does the word shloka mean literally? So, I think I will let Saumya answer that. Noble effort. Online course with Hindi translation. So most of the translation are in English. We don't have a Hindi translation yet. In case there is a teacher or a volunteer who comes in, we will pray that that happens. Who is the author of the third course? The third course, which I told for three chapters available, is Adiyen self Vishwanathan only. Dasoham. Is knowing a Sanskrit mandatory? Absolutely no. So knowing Sanskrit is not at all mandatory. As Bhagini suggested, it is only that it is useful.
so that you can appreciate the nuances of the pronunciation, and later it will be a stepping stone for you to understand the meaning and implement it. Like we always say, first Shravanam, listening, then Uccharanam, Pathanam, pronouncing it, Pathanam, reading it, and then Mananam, memorizing it, and slowly Nididhyasanam, dwelling upon the meaning, and finally Acharanam, or implementing it. These are the stages, and this is the chanting is the first stage or the first Sopana Margam which we are looking at it. What is quarter? So any shloka, all the shloka 700 will get divided into four parts, and that part is called as Pada or quarter. Which Bhagavad Gita book? ISKCON Gita Home. I don't know what is Gita Home, but the ISKCON as it is, which has the Moolam in it, is okay. Gita Home, you can tell us which book it is and you can show it in the next class. We can just confirm if that book is fine. As far as we know, all the Moolams are fine. Do you give tips on memorizing, Mahodaya? Over the period, as Bhagini is progressing in the class, she can give you some tips on pronouncing also. May I suggest an entirely new course? Of course, you can suggest an entirely new course. You can mail us at support at vyomalabs.in, Sanskrit from home at vyomalabs.in. So you can do that. So learning Sanskrit through Bhagavad Gita was the course, Mahodaya, Haresh Bakshi ji. That was the course, which was the third course, which was I referring to. The name of the course itself is Learning Sanskrit through Bhagavad Gita, for which we have done an introductory 3 chapters. You can go through that, and in the same way, you can do a Swadhyaya for the remaining chapters. So thank you for suggesting it, and luckily that course is already available for you. Chandas remains across all shlokas. Shyam Karaji, the Chandas does not remain. As she said, there are some Anushtup which are 8, divided by 4 is 8. There are some Upajatis which will have 11 shlokas. Implies the Pada is also fixed. Not fixed. Depending on the Chandas, we will divide it into 4. And then the Padas are coming. Luckily, in Bhagavad Gita, to my limited knowledge, all are Samachandas. That is, you get a direct divide by 4 into equal parts. But apart from these, there are shlokas which are Vishamachandas also, wherein you will have uneven letters in the quarters also. But here you have the equal ones. Dhanyavadaha. All by the Guru's blessings, Bhagavat Kripaya, Guru Kripaya, we are all surviving. Nothing from our powers. Only by the Guru Anugraha, and as Saumya Bhagini introduced, Brinda Bhagini is one of the most qualified person for this class. Her Carnatic Sangeeta skills, her Shruti Jnana, her Uchcharana Jnana, Sanskrit Jnana, and her total Kripa by the Sringeri Jagadguru, who till date blesses her especially. Makes her fully qualified for this class, and we'll have a great class. We are literally humbled by the number of attendees. We have more than 160 people participating. This is a great blessing for us. A lot of elders have come in. Again and again, we salute to all your lotus feet. We take your blessings and we embark on this journey. Sincere apologies for taking an extra 10 minutes in this. Some of the Western people, it's quite late in the day for you, or in the night actually. So, Dhanyavadaha Ram Mahodaya, Dhanyavadaha Roberto Ji. So, Namaste to all of you, Dhanyavadaha. Feel free to write to us, either to Brinda Bhagini or to us. And from the next class, we will directly jump into the chanting and the shlokas. Apologies if you have taken some extra time in explaining these, and if some of us were expecting the shlokas today itself. Very sorry for not meeting that expectation, but there were 2 reasons. One, today is a Pratipat, and our Mata told if you can give an introduction and take it from the next class, that is the one of the reasons. Second, also there were some questions and clarifications which we wanted to answer. From the next class, it will purely be, we'll be focusing all the time, most of the time, on the chanting part itself. I hope all the questions are answered. Any other points, Saumya Bhagini, which you want to add? I think Saumya Bhagini is on mute. Any other question, kindly mail us, email us the questions after this class also. We'll be happy to answer to their whatever limited knowledge we have. We will try to yathadhitam, yathamati will answer. Otherwise, we'll check with elders, Guravaha, and then we will try to bring the answer to you. So, dhanyavadaha. Antima shlokam, mangala shlokam, swasti prajabhyah uktva, samapayamah.
Swasti prajabhyah paripalayantam, nyayena margena mahim mahishah, go brahmanebhyah shubhamastu nityam, loka samasta sukhino bhavantu, loka samasta sukhino bhavantu, loka samasta sukhino bhavantu. Ram Ram Ram.
Sarvebhyah Ram Ram Ram. Dhanyavadaha. Agami kakshayam punar milamaha. Ram Ram Ram.
Ram Ram.